Breaking Chains is a show that will break generational curses that are holding our youth and families in bondage. It's freedom time.
Freedom time.
You're now listening to Breaking Chains with your host, Minister Roderick Williams.
Good evening, good evening. We say good evening to you all. It is truly a blessing to be on the radio line tonight. Tonight we have with us Reverend Katrina Kennedy and Reverend Denise Lynch, and I am so excited to have my sister, this woman of God, on the line. Before we go any further, let us open up with prayer and scripture. The scripture tonight that I would like to expound on is just the portion of Hebrews 12th chapter, verse 1b, and it reads thusly. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. Thus is the reading of God's word for God's people. Blessed be his holy name. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening with a bowed down head and an humble heart. We say thank you, Lord God, for the many blessings that which you've bestowed upon us, giving a special thanks and recognition to Pastor Williams for giving us the opportunity to be able to use this line, oh God, in your name, to be able to expound on the word of God for the people of God. Oh God, I pray that we are not here for any shape, form, or fashion, but that we are here as Proverbs 31 women of God to expound on your word. We ask, O Heavenly Father, that we can touch somebody who may have a wayward heart or just be going through something that we may not know about, but that when we finish coming together as P31 women tonight, O God, that you will allow someone, woman or girl, boy or man, to come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? Now I pray, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, you're my strength and my redeemer. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Reverend Lynch, come on with it, woman of God. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners on tonight.
Well, I am Minister Dee Lynch of Mobile, and I just love the opportunity that God has sent before us. I thank God for allowing me to be a part of what God is doing on this radio today. I am Minister Dee Lynch, and I'm here in to be a part of what God is doing. I'm no big. I, for no little use, I'm just here to support and to push what help God do. He's going to do tonight. God need help, right? I'm so glad what God is doing. I am so glad that whatever God is doing, that he's not doing it without us. I do believe God is calling his remnant together for such a time as this, and he's touching every area of our lives, that we, no matter what goes on in the United States, that God got a way to make his way known, make his word heard. And I thank God for what he's doing right here to include me to be a part of what God is doing. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's a blessing to have you on the line tonight. And I don't feel like it's anything that's too big or too hard. We're going to just take this day by day, step by step. And you know what? It's going to be all right because God has already ordained it. So tonight, let us not slow down. Let's go ahead and tackle this thing. Because you know what, Reverend Lynch? I have been dealing with some things today, this week, this month, this year. And what I have found is that we should not be weary in well-doing. But in all honesty, I am dealing with so many people who have a problem with letting things go. And the things that they are holding on to, they fail to realize that it's holding them back. It's holding them back from so many things. So many things that could put them in a different place if they would just actually allow those things to be what they are, the past. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I understand, and I want to use this as an illustration just to kind of get things started. But it's just, for me, it's like when I think about the way people hold things back and they have a problem with letting things go, which actually stops them from doing what they need to do, it's just like you're getting ready for a race, you know? And you know how it is when you get ready to run. And I'm not even talking about a long triathlon or a marathon. I'm talking about just a simple race. You got to get yourself prepared, right? You know, and in your preparation, no matter how much you prepare, no matter how much you exercise and get your stamina going and your endurance going and you know what's ahead of you, when you get to the finish line, it doesn't matter whether you're first, second, or last. If you don't cross that line, do you know what I'm saying? If you don't cross the finish line, what does that mean? That you haven't finished.
Amen.
It means that you are still held back. It means that where you have started, it doesn't matter that you've gotten to the end, you still holding back. And what's ahead of you, you won't even know because you're afraid to cross that line. We have got to learn how to motivate, encourage our sisters and our brothers, right, to realize that if they would just go ahead and cross that line, they'll see what it is that God has for them.
Amen. Because everything that God got for them is just a word away. He said, if power and life and death is lies in the power of the tongue. Whatever you ask God for, all you got to do is ask. It's a prayer away. All you got to do is just tell God all about it. And it's easy when you make up your mind, when you have a persuaded heart, when you have come to your, how you say, be like the prodigal son, come to yourself and realize that I have messed up. I have got to let this go. I got to bring this to a complete end. I got to cut this. This don't have nothing of value for me but death. It don't have life in it. It has death in it. So I need to put down whatever holding me back. Every time I try, you say how mom and them used to say, you take one step forward and two steps backwards. Every time you try do something good, it makes me sound like the man Paul in Romans. He said, every time I try to do something good, evil's always present. You got to
What I hear you saying, though, is this. You got to do some decluttering. You got to be willing to go into your mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be afraid to go. This is your mess, right? You can't be afraid to go in your own mess and declutter and let some of this stuff that holds you bondage, that have them shackles around your ankles, you can't be afraid to say, you know what, I got to get rid of some of this stuff. I got to let go of some of these friends that's been holding me back. I got to let go of some of this mess that's just got me entangled, whether it's a toxic relationship with a boy or a girl or a woman or a man, it's just a friend that's just kind of like holding you back by constantly reminding you of what it was that was in your mess. You know, you got to be willing to shed off some stuff. You can't be holding all of that stuff down because you know one thing, all it does is just keeps you just, it keeps it too complex. You know, and life itself should be simplified. If we could just really declutter, if we can help somebody understand how to get rid of some of this toxic waste that's in their bodies or in their life, it can be simple. It doesn't have to be complex and complicated. You know, there are some things
Amen.
That we step aside and lay it aside from us so that we can finish and finish well.
Yes. That's what the word of God said. He said, lay aside every sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay it aside. God said, let that stuff go because it's holding us back. unclutter your connection with God. When you want to talk to God, get rid of all that anxiety. Get rid of all that jealousy. Get rid of all that hatred so that your connection with God won't be stopped up. It won't be what you call that when you go turn on the light switch and all of a sudden the lights won't come on. Why? Because you done lost the connection somewhere. And then when you go outside to find out the Alabama power came and cut your lights out, that means you ain't got no connection. That's the way it is with God. When you lose connection with God, that's because you got too much of something blocking your connection with God. You got to keep this thing clear. You got to keep that pathway, that channel, yes, that channel clear, so that no matter what comes on in life, I got to get a press of God, and God got to hear me when I cry. I got to go to him when I can't go to my friend. If I ain't got nobody to call, I know I can call on Jesus. You have to lay it all down. You got to let it all go and let God be God and trust him. I used to tell some of my girlfriends when they be going through, I said, are we going to trust God or ain't we? Is there anything too hard for God? Lay aside that what so easily beset you. Lay it aside that so easily caused you to fall, caused you to stumble, that caused you to cuss again, caused you to pick up that alcohol again, that caused you to pick up that drug again. Lay it aside that caused you to pick up that hatred, that jealousy, that envy spirit. Whatever it caused you to pick that stuff up, lay it aside. Because it's blocking your channel with God. You can't get anything through. You can't talk to God, and you can't hear him. God.
My God. But let me tell you something. I was thinking when you were talking about Alabama Power. And it brought me to an illustration that I think everybody can just kind of relate to. If you have one light bulb, right, and you attach that one light bulb to a battery, what's going to happen? The battery will run just like the Energizer Bunny for a long time, right? Now, if you attach 100 light bulbs to a battery, what's going to happen? It's going to go dim and dark real quick. So when I say that we have to declutter, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm going to tell you something about me. I can't speak on nobody but Katrina, right? So my thing is this. I have a problem with saying no. I have a problem with saying no. I will allow people to just add pile on my schedule and to the point where I cannot figure out how to do things, and then I get to the point where my life is just cluttered. It's got so much stuff going on. I get to the point where I become discouraged. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, from woman of God to woman of God, that it comes to a point where even we as ministers get to the point where we where we are cluttered, and we have to learn how to declutter. So I want some hearers and some listeners to realize that it's not just a bad thing when we're talking about shedding off dead weight. I'm talking about not allowing people or stuff to clutter because we're trying to do good. Because it gets to the point where, like you said about Paul now, you find yourself trying to do good. But every time you get to that point where you make one step, you fall back two steps because you get cluttered with so much stuff. My schedule gets to the point where I got 2, 3, 4 calendars. Okay? And I want people to understand that it's not just about a bad thing, because good things cluttering you and your schedule and your mind can also be toxic. It can also become discouraged, and it can make you become tired. So you've got to learn how to be okay with the word no.
Amen.
You've got to. Because I remember somebody telling me this, and it was really a hard pill for me to swallow. They said, people only ask because they know you will.
Oh, my God.
But if you tell them no, guess what?
they'll find somebody else. That told me right then that you can't be afraid to say no. You can't allow your life to become so cluttered with junk, stuff, or anybody else's stuff trying to do good, because you wound up being unhelpful. Now, if that's the word, then I'd have made it up.
Amen.
But you find yourself being unhelpful. And there's no need in us talking about we're being helpful and we're unhealthy, because we got all of this stuff on us. So we got to learn how to let go of things, because these things, even good things, can really hold you back based on what it is that is really meant for you. Can't get here because I got to do X, Y, Z, and 1, 2, 3. Because I'm afraid to tell somebody, no, I only got 30 minutes, and I need that 30 minutes to regroup. We cannot be afraid. We cannot be to the point where we're trying to do so much good that we're unhealthy.
Oh, my God.
It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And you said something to me earlier today, and I don't want you to forget about what you said. You talked to me from the book of Romans. And if you could, just go ahead, and you don't have to turn to it right now. You don't have to even get there right now, but just go ahead and put it back into your spirit. Because this is really good, because we talked today about how we are coming together for a time such as this. And the word of God
says,
two or three are gathered together in his name, yet touching and agreeing that he's in the midst.
Amen.
So we can't allow the weight of other things to stop us from doing and hold us back and slow us down from what it is that we are trying to do. Because after all, it's not our program. What? So if we're not doing it healthy, and we are not being helpful, then we are not helping anybody else if we aren't right. It could be a relationship. It could be a job.
Mm.
It could be an activity, any of those things. It doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing, but whatever it is, a weight for a good thing can still be a bad thing. Because if you got too many weights on you, what is it going to do? It's going to slow you down. And eventually, it's going to weight you down. And eventually, you're going to come to a complete stop. And you're not going to be healthy enough to even finish what it is that you started.
Praise God.
I feel that I'm helping somebody tonight. It may be that I'm helping myself, because you know what? If I can't help myself, how can I help anybody?
Oh, my God.
You've got to learn how to say no in order to grow.
Amen.
That's it right there. In order to grow.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't expect us to do everything.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said sometimes it's good to get strong enough to tell the devil no. It's good to get strong to tell the devil no. I remember as I was studying and everything for this last week and everything on broken chains and everything, and how it took me to Romans 7:14 through Romans 8:17, and it was just telling us how he said we know that the law is spiritual, but I am not spiritual, since sin rules in me. If I were slaves. As I was its slave, sin, a slave to sin. He said, I do not understand the things I do. I do not do what I want to do. And I do the things I hate. And if I do not want to do the hate things, I do. He said, that means I agree with the law that the law is good. But I am not really the one who is doing these hatred things. It is sin living in me that doeth them. Yes, I know that nothing's good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do those things. I do not do the good things I want that I want to do, but I do the bad things I do not want to do. So if I do the things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is sin living in me that doeth these things. We got to recognize that when
that's right,
God said, there's nothing in this, no matter what, there's nothing good in this flesh. There's nothing, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing good in this flesh. Our thinking on our own is nothing. We got to realize that when we come across a situation that we know without a shadow of doubt, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't have gave that woman a piece of my mind. I know I shouldn't have stole out of Walmart. I know I should have reported. I knew I should have gave that $10 back even when they gave me too much money. I knew I shouldn't have, I should have did right on my IRS taxes. I'm telling you, sin, I don't care what it is sin. And there's when we operate in that, there's nothing good that's going to come out of that. But we got to be like the, like Paul, when, I mean, like he said over there in Romans 8:38, it said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I got to be persuaded in my mind that every time I come across a situation to sin, I got to be persuaded in my heart. I shall live for God I live, and for God I die. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. I got to know that. I got to recognize. We all know that we was raised knowing right from wrong. And I know situations in our over lifetime causes us to fall and causes us to fail at certain times, causes us to hurt, causes us to have broken hearts, causes us to have feelings hurt, causes us to want to fall, you know what I want to fall into, somebody else's bed, and it don't belong to mine. And we know it's wrong. But because of this flesh, we have to have a made-up mind in our heart that no matter what comes our way, no matter what comes up against us, that we have to do it like Jesus wants us to do. We have to give our life to him, our mind over to him. We got to yield our members unto him. No matter what, yes, we want to do what's right. We want to do what's good. But seem like every time I turn around, there's a curse word coming out of my mouth. Every time I turn around, there's, I'm lying about this. Or I'm giving somebody a piece of my mind about that. I'm getting small. Oh, Lord, just name. You know you better than you anybody else know you.
Yeah.
God know me better than I know my. We know what our shortcomings are. So all we got to do is realize that we got to bring it to an end. We got to stop it. We got to cut it. Whatever besets us, and the devil know what buttons to push. I'll let you know not. He know how to rally your change. He know what it is to get you ticked. You got to make up your mind that I'm going to bite my tongue. It's not about me. God got a plan for my life. I got to know that within my heart that this too shall pass. I got to know no matter what comes my way, I'm not falling for that again. You got me that time, devil, but you won't get me next time. You know, when we stump and we fall and we get right back up again, brush yourself off. That's how it is. Paul said, I want to do good, but every time I do try to do good, evil is always present.
And there you go again, dipping into my little mental state right now, because I was thinking about how easy it is to identify the sins in which we do. The things that we do are wrong. It's easy to identify.
It's easy
to know when what you're doing is wrong, and what you're not doing is right, or what you're doing is right, and what you want to do is wrong. It's easy, but it's just like saying, you know, the right keys to living the correct what we need to do, the key to living a healthy lifestyle, right?
or even keeping our finances and just talked about IRS. You know, and we know what to do, but the problem is we don't do it. The book of James, 4th, 17th verse, is one of my favorite scriptures. It says that anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin.
Okay. Yes.
Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it,
okay, it's sin.
So if you that you should spend less money, oh my God, then you may then you know that if you don't, if you spend more than what you make, you're not gonna be financially healthy.
Amen.
You don't go and have a shopping spree that's gonna put you farther in debt, right? You don't need
to
keep up with Jones or the Smiths or whoever you're trying to compare yourself to. You don't need to charge everything up on a charge card. We need to learn to live within our means. We need to learn to lay aside the weight of a financial debt. We need to learn to be able to run this race and run it well. We need to learn to be able to put money aside, not for selfish gain, but to be able to help our brothers or our sisters that's in need of help. We need to learn to stop just doing things impulsively because we want to make ourselves look good, but we tore up from the floor up on the inside.
Oh, my God.
So my question tonight is, what weight do I need to lay aside? What weight do you need to lay aside? What weights are there?
Ooh.
Acknowledge those weights. Acknowledge what it is that's holding you back. And learn how to put a period behind it. Not a comma and keep going. But a period, a punctuation mark, that means it's an end. Put an end to it.
Amen.
Stop blaming your boyfriend or your girlfriend for what has happened to you all these years. Stop worrying about he raped me and learn how to forgive not the man who raped you, but learn how to first forgive yourself for continuously being a victim and learn how to be a survivor.
Amen.
Stop worrying about what you did or who got what and how they got it to get what they did and did what they did to get it and start learning how to manage your own lifestyle. Learn how to be content in the state in which you are in. Learn how to appreciate that Volkswagen you got so that when you get the Beamer or the Mercedes or whatever it is that God has stored up for you, you will know how to appreciate it because you took good care of the Volkswagen. What weight are we holding on to that's got us so full of complexities that we just laying there waddling in it? What is it that's got us bound down so much that we can't even lift our head up to Jesus and say, woe is me, and that I surrender it to you, oh God, because I know that only you can fix it for me.
Yes, God.
Who is it that we are holding blame for what has happened to us? Why is it that we can't let go of the blame because we didn't go to college? Why is it we can't stop pointing the finger at Sally Mae and Bobby Sue because we went out there and took something that didn't belong to us? Why is it we can't put a period on that woe is me and say I am a king and I am a queen and that I can do more than what it is that I've been doing? What is it that's got us in bondage? What is it that's got us crying at night and holding our head down during the day because we can't look up? What is
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Remove them shackles that's got you bound down. Learn how to let them shackles be free. Learn how to walk. Learn how to walk steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, not the work of Katrina. Learn how to surrender it because you know what? At the end of the day, it's not even about us. At the end of the day, it's not about what we did. At the end of the day, it's not about who we hurt. At the end of the day, it's about repenting for what we have done.
asking God to show us the right way and turn away from our wicked ways and learn how to not go back. But it's time to remove these shackles. And we're going to stay tuned for a break. And we're going to come back and find some ways to learn how to remove some of these shackles that got us bound down.
Amen.
It's time for us to take a break. My God. My God. I don't even have a word right now. Look, I don't even have a song right now. I'm just going to ask you all to just bear with me. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus' Shekinah glory is pressing on my spirit. So I'm going to tell you right now that you're listening to Breaking Chains with P31 Ladies Night. You have Minister Lynch and Elder Kennedy on the line. We ask you to feel free to dial in, to join in on this discussion, because today we are talking about the weight, letting go of the things that's holding us back. You're listening to Breaking Chains with P31 Ladies Night. Feel free to dial in to 858-357-9137, or you can log in to blogtalkradio.com. Stay tuned as we take this break. We're going to listen to Jesus by Shekinah Glory.
Oh, my.
Woo, you better.
couldn't do it for you.
Jesus.
Confusion couldn't do it either. God is.
Jesus.
He's God all by himself.
Jesus.
The name, the name, the name of
Jesus.
The precious name. And all he's done for me,
Jesus.
I can't help but give him glory.
Jesus.
He is God all by himself.
Jesus.
Come on, give him glory.
Jesus.
At the name of Jesus, demons must flee. That's the kind of power he's given us. To that sickness, and it will leave.
Jesus.
That's what he said in his word. Yeah.
Jesus.
He said, I've come to give you life more abundantly.
Jesus.
That's what he did at the cross for you and me.
Jesus.
That's what he did at the cross for you and me.
Jesus.
That's what he did at the cross for you and me. But I'm so glad he rose on the third day.
Jesus.
With all power in his hand.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
The powerful name of. dance partner, because I got Jesus.
Jesus.
When I think of his goodness and what he's done.
Jesus.
When I think of his goodness and what he's done.
Jesus.
I can't hear more, son. I gotta give him glory.
Jesus.
Jesus. Bless the Lord. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory.
With the P31 women on YAT Radio.
And we say welcome back, welcome back. It's something about the name of Jesus. It causes all sorts of emotions that just runs right through me. But it's not a negative emotion. It's a good emotion. It's the feeling in which I can't even explain. It makes me feel comfort when I'm comfortless. It makes me feel love when I feel like I can't find love anywhere else. When I whisper the name Jesus, it does all sorts of good things for me. It gives me a sense of peace. It gives me a sense of love. It gives me a taste in which I can never find in anything else. Because, you know, Reverend Lynch, I don't know if you know this about me, but I love seafood. And when I speak the name Jesus, even quenches my craving for seafood. It gives me a taste. It satisfies me. It just makes me say, good. It's nothing like the name and the power and the spirit and the feeling of having Jesus in my life.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, I thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for your willingness to come forth on tonight, and I thank God for what he is doing because he has reconnected us, and it's just amazing because people of God who are listening right now, Reverend Lynch and I had an opportunity to talk today, and it was for a brief period, and she said to me, she said, I look so forward to meeting you, and I said, okay. But we've already met, so we just look forward to reconnecting. And she was like, huh? But that's okay. That's okay.
Amen.
Because I want to say tonight we are reconnecting, and it's for a time such as this. And before we went on our break, I posed a question, and I want to go back to that question because I asked, what are the weights that we need to lay aside? And I normally don't do anything like this, but I felt led to talk about a question, a comment, a situation in which a person I know has been going through. And if you would just bear with me for a few minutes, I want to read this email that I received. And I did get an okay from this person to actually speak of it, but I will remain confidential as far as the situation.
Praise God.
The person says, I've been in a relationship for over 20 years with my husband. My husband has cheated on me and had a child out of wedlock with another woman. I take him back, and he doesn't work. And he has a lot of health issues. But the thing that really gets me is he doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't want me to live a Christian life. He doesn't want me to continue walking with the Lord. He sees me as a neat freak, a clingy freak, walking in a cult. He doesn't appreciate me. He doesn't respect me. And quite often in my mind, I know he's a burden and he's a dark cloud in my life because he has nothing but negative energy. But yet I find myself feeling obligated to make my marriage work with him. Now, I divorced him, but I've allowed him to come back, and I regret it on a daily because he is a heavy burden in my life. And every time I think about throwing him out and taking him back, going back and forth, I'm just tired. And right now I'm praying that God will give me the strength to let go and never look back. I often pray that the stronghold that is on me is destroyed and the chains that keep holding me bound is let go. I want to be free. And she ends, please pray for me to be free. Now, if that's not talking about letting go of things that are holding you back, this woman of God is going through, and I know that there is someone else who's listening or may listen in at a later date that is going through a situation. And so tonight I'm going to ask my partner, my sister, my confidant to help me as I render prayer and help for this woman. Can you shed a little light on it with me, Reverend Lynch?
Yes, first of all, let me pray for her. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to right now, God, speak to her heart. Move on her right now, God, that she may see you and you only. God, we ask you to, as you come, we ask you to give us the words to say with wisdom. With wisdom, knowledge, and understand, as her heart perceives and understand, let her receive what thus said God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The only thing that I can say, you still here?
Reverend, okay, I can hear you.
Okay. The only thing that I could say is to her is that when God is trying to get your attention, he puts all kinds, the devil puts all kinds of distractions in front of you, all kind of weight that is getting your attention. First of all, you can't save nobody but yourself. The main thing that this young lady have to do and realize that it is not about her husband and it is not about her marriage. It's about my relationship with God.
My Lord.
And I will forsake all for my relationship with God. I said, because when God is trying to get us into a place, and a place that is a long time with him, oh, God, everything come at you because the devil don't want to release nobody that he done had. But once you get free from the hand of the enemy, you'll be able to see that God got a plan for you. See, when you long, I know you said you divorced him, you took him back. First of all, when you was crying out to God on the first time before you divorced him, God heard you, heard your call, heard your cry, and seen the abuse that you was taking. So because you divorced him, that was God's way of freeing you then. But because of our heart is so, I say a woman's heart is so full of compassion, And so for love, we always try to put our best foot forward. We always try to put 100% in the marriage. We want to try to the very end that whatever happens, I'll know that I've done my best. But sometimes when we go backwards, God told some people, and you know what the story is, not to look back, get away, get out of the city of Gomorrah, and don't look back. But because the wife looked back, she was trying to blow a salt and everything. Because you look back, took it back, next time God free you, and He's going to free you. I mean, really, to tell the truth, because you said you did divorce him, so you're living in sin. If I'm correct, that's what I heard. Now, if I'm wrong,
that's
please
right.
correct me, please.
No, you're right.
So that means if you took him back, he's not your husband. You are living in sin. Because, see, when you have gone forward, things start coming at you to get you distracted off of your relationship with God, out of your alone time with God. God is trying to get your attention. Now, God said in what book was that? That was Matthew's? No, that was John. That was John 4. And he was talking about the woman at the well and God told her to go get your husband and bring him to me. She said, I have no husband. And he said, you have said correctly. He said, matter of fact, you have had many. And the one you're with now is not your husband. That's the same way with your situation. The man you're with now is not your husband. Because you divorced him, you are free. Now, because you went back, you can walk away anytime you get ready. You can tell the man that, look, I got to live for God. I remember telling my husband, before he was my husband, we was living together and everything when we was young. And when God saved me in 88, it was after my dad died. And it was in the wintertime, I think it was like around in November. And it was cold and rainy, and I told Clifton, I said, we can't live together anymore. And he said, why? I said, because God has called me, and I got to be about my Father's business. He couldn't fight with that at all because it wasn't about no man. It's about my relationship and my call to God that I was willing to forsake him for my purpose with God. I ain't lying. I promise you. And as we went on and everything, and I moved back in with my mom, he showed up at my house in November. I ain't lying. At my mom's house. And all I could do is open the door. It was raining. It was cold. And it was wet. And I said, what, Cliff? Because I had made up my mind. I'm not coming back. I'm sorry. My relationship with God is too important. My call, I know I heard God's voice. And he said, well, help me find God. I looked up to God so sincere and looked up at him. I ain't lying. So like I'm talking to you guys. I looked up to God and said, are you serious? I ain't got time to play. And God spoke to me so clearly. He said, well, what if he's for real? I said, okay, God. And I told my husband, that wasn't my husband at that time. I said, either January the 7th, we are to be married or you are to be gone. Because I wasn't going to live in sin for nobody. Come this year, I'll be 29 years we've been married. Because I was determined.
I just said praise
because
God.
I was determined. Yes, because I was determined that I meant what I said. And I meant that I was going to live for God. You have to have a made-up mind and a persuaded heart that no height, no depth, no principalities, no things past, no things present, nothing, nobody shall separate you from the love of God. You got to have a made-up mind that this, I'm not going back. I mean, because when you seek God for all that you have and all that you are, all that you're dependent on is at stake. You have to know that no matter what he said, no matter what, how sweet it may be, and you know what the trials and tribulations that you're going through, would you think it's going to get better? It's not going to get better until he gives his life to Christ. Our marriage didn't get better because we got married. It got better over time when he gave his life to Christ. We got in one accord. That's when it got better. Because we can walk, how could two walk together except they agree? But you're living in sin. You have to make up your mind, for God I live and for God I don't care what you think. I don't care. You made your decision. Period. You made your bed, Mom and them used to tell us. You make your bed hard, you lie in it. Hello? I have to tell my sons, I can't save you. I got to get out of the way. Why? Because if you keep seeing my hand, you'll never see the hand of God. Next time you fall, next time you go to jail, that's what I was telling them, next time you go to jail, you better call on God and ask him to get you out. And I promise you, next time you get out, you won't go back, and they haven't been back. I promise you, when you make decisions in your mind, in your heart, that for God I live and for God I die, nothing shall separate you. Nothing shall pull you backwards into that mess that God had freed you from, that made up mind. You got to tell your husband. You got to, and you got to have a mindset, God, because he's not your husband no more. If I'm wrong, let me know, because you said you divorced him. He's not. You're living in sin. So what's holding you? Are you going to trust God or ain't you? If you think he's the one for you, get back married. Then if you've got second thoughts on that, say, oh, no, I ain't, then he's not for you. Why waste your time or give your milk away to somebody that don't belong to you? Hello? Why let the enemy stand in the way of your blessing? How can God send the man for you to sign you if you're covered by sin? He can't see you for another man's sin. Hello. As long as you got sin on your arm, you'll never find a husband. Hello.
Jesus.
That's me. I'm just saying, when you make up your mind and have a persuaded heart, I know what it is to be hurt, verbally hurt. I promise you I know. Because I was verbal abuse. Ain't nothing I'd rather for you. I wonder whether for my husband to hit me than verbal abuse me. But I thank God, God has changed the conversation, baby. I'm not a baby. I'm not a victim no more. I promise you. I'm reaping benefits. I promise you. In more ways than one. And you calling yourself going through infidelity with your husband? Well, he's not your husband. So withholding yourself is a good thing because he don't belong to you. Because God tells us every day, it's better to marry than burn. You're burning in more ways than one. Make up your mind today and be persuaded in your heart that I'm going to walk and run to God for my life. And not look back. Because what God has for me is for me. And if he's not the one, God, help me, give me strength to get away this time. And I promise you, I won't look back. Amen. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. And that's good. People, we need to hear the truth. No matter how it hurts, the word of God says, spare the rod, spoil the child. That mm-hmm. doesn't just go for an infant, because we are all children of God. So we can't spare the rod. We have to bring truth. If truth is not what you want to hear, then you're on the wrong line. Amen. Because we have an obligation to give you the word of God. We have an obligation to give you the truth. And the word of God is not of anything but truth. It is a book of laws. It is our guidebook. It is a just like a playbook for a race. This book is the word of God. And we have to give it to you the way thus says the Lord.
Amen.
And I trust that someone is listening to the point where they realize that it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
In the need of prayer.
You don't have to worry about telling me about it or Minister Lynch about it. Tell God.
Amen.
You make it in your mind. Make it up in your mind. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. It's not going to make the situation any easier, but you will have an advocate. You will have a pilot. You will have a force to stand with you to allow us to be able to make it through the situation. He didn't say that it would be easy, but he said that he would stand by us and that he would not leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
Now, if we stand and give you untruth, then we're not doing anything more than what it is that you're already going through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing because I think, No. I already know.
Amen.
This person in which we are speaking to already knows the truth.
Amen.
She already knows.
Amen.
Because she said she's a Christian. So she already knows. And that's also why she's surrendering and asking for prayer. But today is the day where you learn to say the words for yourself. Cry out to the Lord. Because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. But we must open our mouth and repent, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Yes, the land will be healed. That's in the Word.
Amen.
It's not something that I said. It's not something that I thought of. It's in the Word. So choose this day whom you want to serve. And realize that you can let go of these things that are holding you back.
Amen.
But only through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Because I know for myself, if it was me and I was doing this on my own, or I thought I was doing it on my own, I wouldn't even think about the repercussions. But I know for a fact that this woman of God is feeling convicted of the things in which she has done, in the decisions in which she has made. She's feeling convicted. So she's reaching out and she's asking for prayer. And there's nothing wrong with reaching out and asking for prayer. But we also have to be accountable, learn how to go to God on our own.
Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe that you are providing a suitable help for this woman of God. Father, according to your word, one who will adopt you right now in her heart, accept and honor and prefer and esteem him, stand firmly by his side, unite in spirit and purpose, having the same love and being in full accord, and the one in harmony with you, Lord. Father, I say in name of Jesus. Give her wise understanding. Give her right now, give her right now the husband that is for her, God. Find a true husband right now, God, a good mate for her, God, in the name of Jesus, one that will honor her, one that will protect her, the one that will esteem her, the one that will stand by her, the one that will take care of her, the one that will hold her up when she's down, one that will speak kind words to her, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, the one that will acknowledge her in going and in coming. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, that your word will not return unto your thought, but it accomplished that it will set out to do. God, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that everything that is not like you shall be removed from her, from out of her life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for perfecting your word in her life. I thank you right now for shining right now upon her. We thank you right now for finishing a good work that you have started within her, God. God, in the name of Jesus, let her know that you will never leave her, nor would you forsake her. In the mighty name of Jesus, we touch and agree right now, God, that your will be done in her life. In Jesus' name, that she may see you like she never had before, that she will hear you like she never had before, that you will be glorified in her, through her, and by her for your glory. God, give her right now, God, power, wisdom, and understanding to do what thus said God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Give her. Give her, God, a persuaded hope. One thing about life, I think it is, I mean, it's a learning process and everything. And I thank God that once we learn how to commune with God, every answer to every question will be answered. I promise you, once you line up the conversation, line up your relationship with God, get connected, I promise you, you will hear like you never heard before. But the only thing about hearing, will we have the heart to obey? Will we have the heart and the mind to say, yes, God, I will. Yes, God, I won't. Yes, God, I obey. Will we have the mind to stand firm on what thus said God concerning me and my life, in my life? One thing about God, he don't force nothing on us, nothing. Not even his love. We have to ask for it. We have to receive every gift that God gives us. He said he give it without repentance. It's up to us to receive it. I can go shopping every day of the week for a gift. That's because I did on purpose. This is something I wanted to give you. That's the same way with God and his love. He does it on purpose. He wants to give it to you on purpose because he know that ain't nobody going to love you like he love you. Ain't nobody going to save you like he saved us. Ain't nobody going to be there in the time of trouble like he can. Ain't nobody, I promise you, can't nobody do me like Jesus. You might as well say that. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. You got to make that thing personal. It is good to find ourselves in certain situations. And sometimes we always look at ourselves, and sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Sometimes, because of our own tongue, we find ourselves in situations. We did it ourselves. We went back because we wanted to go back. We touched it because we wanted to touch it. We said it because we wanted to say it. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Sometimes we ought to just realize, God, I am a wretch undone. Oh, God, save me. Free me from the hand of the enemy. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves as we really are. We are talking about, if you can't do anything, sing Amazing Grace. I promise you, by the time you get to the end, you'll realize I am a wretch undone. We are. There's God. He tells us there's nothing good in this flesh. Everything that God does, He know how to wash us from the inside out. We have to ask him for that. We have to look to God for what cometh our help, because all our help comes from God. We have gone through trials, tribulations, through life, through ups and downs. We've been hurt. We've been run over by a bus and run over by a truck at the same time. That's not no greater hurt than a heartbreak. I understand, been there, done that, felt that. But I realized I had to give it to God because I was hurting so bad, and hatred was in my, I was ready to throw in the towel. I didn't want this gospel anymore. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to read. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to call my godmother. I didn't want to hear nothing from God because I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew what I wanted to say, and I didn't want, and I wanted to, wouldn't allow it. God wouldn't allow it. God let me know and let me see that he's more greater than I could ever. Anybody can do. God said, revenge is mine, said the Lord. Anybody can do it like God. Can't nobody do it like God. I had to look to him and say, you like seeing me hurt? You like seeing me crying? You like seeing me going through this? And all he said was, I got you. Hello? He said, I got you. I said, okay. And I went in the room and I sat down. And I watched God move, and did he move? I promise you, because he loves us. He said, I take care of my own. If you belong to God, he'll take care of his own. All you got to do, trust and obey him, and watch God move. You don't have to give nobody the little peace of mind that you have. It's just a peace. We don't even operate from the 100% capability of that our mind can really operate at. We only operated from a little bit of peace. So why give that away? And then fall by the wayside by saying what you, I just had to give a piece of my mind, by saying what you don't really need to say. Words are easy to be spoken, but they're hard to be taken back. We have to look to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Through God, all things are possible. We know that we hurt. We know that the enemy is busy. He's on his job. But let's not give him no more than he deserves. He don't deserve no time. He don't even deserve to be exalted. He don't deserve to be talked about. We just need to tell God all about it and watch God move. He knows the hurt. He know what we're going through. He know what we need before we even. Oh, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their land. Don't you know if we just turn from all that and bring an end to it, cut it, everything that is not like God, that is not like God. God has made us in his image, so we ought to be just like God. Body should know that there is a God in heaven. I hear a lot of people say, yeah, I know God. I love Jesus. I know him. I know God. I believe God. Well, God know my heart. Yeah, you know God. But I have a question before the people of God today, for the people that are listening. The question is set before you is, do God know you? I remember telling somebody, everybody know Michael Jackson. But do Michael Jackson know you? That's the same thing with God. Everybody know God. Really know you. I lay that at your feet today, is to get a relationship with God. Get in tune with God today and know that he have a plan just for you, just for us, to bring us to a perfect end, a plan of good and not of evil. Know that God know you better than you know yourself. Turn, sister. Bring it to an end. Go away. Don't go back. Don't look back. God is trying to get your attention. God is trying to get your relationship with him intact. God is trying to get something to you that belongs to you. God is trying to get the best that he has for you to you. Why settle for less? All you got to do is stop. End it. Don't do it. When you want to do good, just do it. Even though we know evil is present. When somebody, I remember I used to work at a Beautyland store in Pritchard, and I remember one time this little girl walked in and said, I don't like you. Like me? Why? Just because. And all like I said, because I was a young convert, and I told her, I said, but God requires that I love you. That's all it takes. It's a different reaction than what you would really say. Because I remember when those days could have said, but I thank God that you told me to say. I remember what I could have said, but I thank God for what he did say. It's that God requires that I love you. You don't have to like me. God requires that we love our enemy. And he said he'll make our enemy our footstool. Trust God in all thine ways, and lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's over to you.
Amen. I think that's the closing remarks for tonight, and I am going to do it just like that. You've opened the doors of the church. You've acknowledged if anyone is lost and they want to turn, they can do it. And there is nothing else to be said except God be with you, God bless you, and God keep you as our prayer. Good night.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio,
or call in 858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Take me to the King.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to to say when there's no food to eat? Or what you see feels all that life will be? And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to watch God provide. Yeah, He will provide before your eyes. Oh, He will, He will.
So tonight,
close your eyes, there's no more need to
gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Come on, raise it before I'm say,
wanna be where you are.
Gotta
be where you are.
I wanna be where.
Wanna be where.
Time today, Lord, but this time for me. Yeah. You told me you would help, Lord. I sing because I'm free. watching, thank you, Lord, over me.